We are glad that you're here this morning, and because you know, there's a lot of things you could have chosen to do today, but to be here to worship with your church family and to worship God together, there's just something about it. Matter of fact, it's so important. The Bible tells us not to forsake it. And the fact that you're here this morning is not an encouragement to me, but it's encouragement to the other people in this church. But more importantly, it pleases God. And as we, before we look into the Word of God this morning, I want you to just take a couple of minutes and just talk to God on your own. I don't know what happened this morning before you came here. I don't know where your heart is. I don't know the maybe some of the things that are going on in your life. But I know that one thing for sure, every one of us needs to hear from God today. So I just ask you to ask God, if there's things in your life that you know aren't right before God, I would ask you to confess those so you can hear God speak. And then once you do that, if you know you're in the right relationship to Him, just ask God to open your ears and open your heart. And don't listen for things I got to say. Listen to what God wants to say to you. And then we'll start our new series on the life of Peter. So pray, and then I will close. God, you know all things, and you know where we are individually. You know those of us that love you more than anything. And then you know those of us that try to make everybody believe that we love you more than anything. And then you know us that are in between. So God, I just pray today that you would accomplish what only you can do, and that's to work in our hearts. God, we've talked about this morning your faithfulness. We've talked about the fact that you have never left us alone. And the results of that, it is well with my soul. So God, we thank you for those promises. We thank you for your word, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit might have his holy way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I told you last week that we're going to begin a new series, a summer series today on the life of Peter. I said that the title of the series will be Peter, the Fragile Stone. And although that is true about Peter, it's also true about us. But when I got home last week, Judy said, Brian, that's a nice title for this series, but I have a better one. I've been married for 46 years. And when she says I have a better one, I know what to do. No. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. But she suggested that we change it from the fragile stone to the impetuous Peter. And then I looked up the word impetuous in the dictionary, and I found this. No. Could I have an usher escort this woman out of the room, please? Obviously, this was Judy at this moment. Relating to or characterized by sudden or rash action, emotional, and impulsive. That described Peter. That's one of the things I like so much about Peter, because, you know, we are so much alike, Peter and I. Walking in the flesh, that's me. But to know that God took Peter from where he was and took him to where he ended up being is an encouragement to me. So I've been looking forward to this study on Peter for a long time, and finally God has given us freedom, I believe, to cover him this summer. As most of you know, our church has a ministry in the state prison in Concord. And sometimes question is asked, Can people really change? Can one take a liar and make them a truth teller? Can a perverted lifestyle become pure? Can a person with a temper become self-controlled? Can a person with a filthy mouth become edifying? Can people really change? Depends. Depends. Because the world has different answers to that question. Some will say, if you just change their environment, people will change. Is that true? Absolutely. What would be a great example of that? How about Adam and Eve? They were in a perfect environment, and what did they do? They sinned anyway. So true change has to be more than just changing the environment. Some will say we need more education. And this is a huge emphasis today. And sadly to say, it's even permeating the church. The thought is that if we can educate people more, if we can get them more information, then people will start doing the right things. They'll change. Yet, I don't want to get political this morning, but we have a lot of educated people running our country. And we have a lot of educated people running our schools. Yet our society isn't improving. It's getting worse. Instead of becoming better, more prisons are being built. More people are committing suicide. Just this week, people that we know that have been in our life in the past had a son that committed suicide. Married, with kids, and he just ended his life this past week. And although educated people are working on world peace, the world's blowing up. Now, hopefully I don't have to remind you this morning that for lasting change, to be lasting, change must come from the inside out. Lasting change will never work from the outside in. Well, I'm glad you do, because that makes you right. But it's true. Lasting change will never work from the inside out. We'll see in our study on Peter that Peter is a man that had lasting change. So, if you turn your Bibles to John, we will see that Peter is mentioned in the very first chapter. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. For those of you on our Facebook page, I sent you this passage out this week in case you wanted to do your own study on it. And if you're a regular attender or a member and you're not on our Facebook page, let us know, and we'd be happy to accept you into that. But John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. And it says this. Verse 35, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, on verse 42. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of God. You will be called Cephas." Cephas, which was translated is Peter. And some of your Bibles say when it's translated is rock, the stone. Yeah, depending on your translation. But it means rock. Our story this morning, or our narrative this morning, doesn't start with Peter, But it starts with his brother Andrew. Did you notice, as we were reading, and maybe you've noticed it in your Bible studies in the past, did you notice the first thing that Andrew did when he met the Messiah? Look at verse 41, it tells you. What did he do? The first thing he did was to go to his brother and to tell him that he had found the Messiah. Two personal questions I want to ask you to consider this morning. The first one is this. How long have you been saved? I was thinking about that this week, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to think about that. It's been over 50 years that I've known Christ. But how long have you been saved? Some of you have been saved recently. Some of you have been saved as long as me and longer. But this is the second question, personal question I want to ask you this morning. That is this. How many friends and family members have you yet to tell that you have found the Messiah? How many friends and family members have you yet to tell that you found the Messiah? The first thing that Andrew did was go get his brother. We will see in our study that when Jesus changes people, he changes them forever. You might be thinking, but Pastor, I know people that have come to Christ and now they are bad or worse than they were when they came to Christ in the first place. Well, I would say this. They were probably never changed. Now, before you get upset with me, let me tell you why I believe this. Now, there are numerous verses in the Bible that address this, but let me just give you two this morning. Paul wrote this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Now, let me just explain this. The new doesn't mean that you never sin. The new doesn't mean that you don't struggle in your walk with God. But it does mean that when you fail or when you do sin, you don't remain there. Your new spirit will not allow you to wallow in the filth and mire that your old spirit enjoyed. That's one extreme. Then you have the other extreme when you have those that are doing everything they can for God on the outside. But the inside has never changed. Jesus said this. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And now listen to what he says. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Things I've never done. Then I tell them plainly. There will be no doubt what Jesus is going to say to them. He says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Peter is an example of a life that was changed from the inside out. As we look at the life of Peter over these next number of weeks, we will see a man that's always asking questions of Jesus. It was Peter who walked on the water. It will be Peter who says to Jesus, I will die for you. And at that moment, he meant it. But later on, would deny this Jesus three times. It was Peter who was the impetuous one. If Peter thought it, more than likely, he was saying it or doing it. So let's pick up our narrative this morning, our story this morning in verse 42. Follow with me as I read it again. Then we're going to look at just three things that I hope will be an encouragement to you this morning. Three things, and this is verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which translated is Peter. The first thing we see In verse 42 is this. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you. You are Simon. Andrew did not have to introduce Simon to Jesus because Jesus already knew who he was. Not because they had met earlier, but because Jesus had created him. Jesus knows you too. And he doesn't only know you by name. He knows your character. He knows what you're struggling with this morning. He knows your past hurts. He knows all those times that people have taken advantage of you. But he also knows those secret sins that you're holding on to. He knows what you did this morning before you came to church, as well as he knows when you don't come to church. He knows all there is to know about you. He knows your feelings. He knows your weaknesses. And he loves you anyway. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Jesus knows about your past. He knows about your present. And he knows about your future. He knows everything about us. Still loves us. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And then Jesus would say, you are my friends if you do what I command. John chapter 15 to verse 14. Jesus knows you. Secondly, Jesus knows your background. Jesus knows your background. Look at verse 42 again with me. It says, oh, not yet. I'm getting ahead of myself. We will look at that in just a second. He says, you are Simon, son of John. He knows your background. You may be here this morning and you might have been adopted. And you don't have any idea who your father was. But Jesus does. You may be here this morning and you were brought up by a father that was less than a good father. Jesus knows that too. You may have had a difficult upbringing. Jesus knows that as well. He knows everything about you. Because Jesus knows your background, he knows exactly what you need to overcome those poor circumstances. He knows exactly what you need to overcome those inherited sinful tendencies that you have. He knows exactly what you need to work through those hurts and disappointments in life. As it was true for Paul, it's true for us. Because Jesus knows our background, he will give us the exact amount of grace that we need. Paul writes, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and verse 9. Judy used to sing a lot for us, a lot for me in our prior ministries. And one of the songs that she used to sing is entitled, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The verse goes like this. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I've made mistakes and often slipped. I'm just common, flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Verse 2 goes like this. The look of love was on his face. The thorns on his head. The blood was on that sacred robe. And it was stained in crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time, for while he was on the cross, listen, you were on his mind. Then the chorus goes, He knew me. He knew everything about me. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. I'm so unworthy of such mercy. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, while he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Think about that for a moment. Jesus knew everything about you. And he died thinking how much he wanted you. On the toughest day, remember, on your toughest day, remember that Jesus knows. If Jesus can remember you on his most difficult day in all of eternity, he can remember you on your worst day. He knows your name, he knows your background, and then thirdly, Jesus knows your potential. Jesus knows your potential. Look at verse 42 again. It says, you will be called Cephas. Cephas is the Aramaic word for Peter. And as we said earlier, Peter means what? Rock or stone. Do you ever wonder what comes to Peter's mind when Jesus said, you will be called rock? Now, I'm only speculating because, honest and true, I look old, but I was not there when this happened. So I'm speculating. But I'm thinking he might have thought, who is this guy? Andrew, what kind of guy did you bring me that says I will be called rock? For you see, Peter was a Jew. And when Jews thought of rocks, they thought of God. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Savior. Psalms 18, 45 to verse 46. When Jesus called Peter rock, do you think at that moment that Peter could even ever imagine preaching a sermon and seeing 3,000 people come to Christ? Do you think that Peter could have ever dreamed that he would become one of the Messiah's best friends? Do you think that Peter could have ever conceived that in just a few days he would long to give up his trade of fishing to become a missionary? Do you believe that Peter could ever have believed that we would be talking about him today? Peter had no idea what it meant when Jesus called him rock. Can I ask you this morning? What about you? What about you? Can you begin to imagine what God wants to do with your life? Are you this morning striving to live up to your potential? Are you actively involved in doing the things that God created you to do? Or are there things God asked you to do and you said, I can't do that? Or worse yet, told God, I won't do that. Is God trying to change you? And you're going through a very difficult time, and instead of accepting it, you have or are now fighting it? Has God tried to get you to live up to your potential, and you are refusing to trust your life with him? Please understand, there are two things. Now, there are many things, but there are two things common to for all of us when it comes to living up to our potential. And we'll see it in the life of Peter. The two things that are in common is this. Number one, God has to change us to get us able to live up to our potential. God has to change us. And for some of us, There's a lot of changing to do. Yeah, I live that out. God has to change us to get us to be able to live up to our potential. B, change often requires pain and disappointment. Change often requires pain and disappointment. Read any Christian biography on men and women that have been greatly used of God, and you will find pain and disappointment in their life. Read the backdrop to some of our most famous and best-loved hymns, and you will find hymns that are written out of pain and disappointment. To reach our potential, change is required. And real change almost always requires pain, disappointment, and difficulties. Have you had people in your life ever disappoint you? You were expecting something from them and they just flat out didn't deliver? Can I encourage you this morning? Don't ever intentionally do that to God. Live up to your potential, because that is how God has designed you. For you, referring to God, for you created my innermost beings. Listen to this. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Intricately, God has designed us. He knit us together. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now listen to this. Your works are wonderful. Let me tell you something. God doesn't make junk. And if God made you, you're not junk. I know we live in a time where people look at themselves like whatever. But the fact is that God made you like you are so that you could be fulfilled to the most potential that he had set apart for you. He says, your works are wonderful. Well, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the world, of the earth. See, Jesus personally made you, created you. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalms 139, verses 13 and verse 16. See, God has your days planned. And his plan is to have you live your life to its fullest potential. Do you ever wonder why Jesus told Simon that he was going to change his name to Peter, the Rock? I don't know this for sure, but just consider this with me. I think it's because Jesus wanted to give Peter hope. Jesus knew that there would be days that Peter would be overwhelmed with guilt. There would be days, and a good number of them, when Peter would fail by saying or doing the wrong thing. Jesus wanted Peter to know that he had a plan for his life. And if Peter would turn his life over to him and give Jesus the opportunity, his plan would be accomplished in Peter's life. Can I encourage you this morning? Please understand this. God has ordained your days as well. God has a plan for you. And Jesus won't stop encouraging you as you continue to strive to live up to your potential. Judy and I have lived out some pains and some disappointments in our life, just like many of you. I remember back, my best friend at the time, I mean, we did everything together. And then he tried to make me look bad in front of our boss so that he could have my job. I remember that time that God had did a miraculous thing. He gave us a home, a log cabin, 5 bedrooms, and then he asked us to give it up. And it was hard because we moved into a trailer that was older than me. And it was so cold in the winter that we would, if we put anything against the walls of that trailer, it'd be frozen to the wall in the morning. I remember having dinner with my boss at that time, and it was on a Thursday night. Judy and I had dinner with him. He just couldn't say enough things about us. He was just trying to encourage us and tell us what a great job we were doing directing that ministry, and just wanted to know that he was behind us. That's Thursday. Saturday night, at my board meeting, he tells me that they've changed their mind and now they no longer need us. But they're not ready to make the change, so he asked me to stay another 6 weeks and help them get ready to dump me. Then I came here. And if you've ever been involved in a church, you know what goes on in the church. Many times it's the church people that hurt you more than anyone. But God saw potential in our lives, and he wanted to get us there to reach it or to work on it. And God is, over the years, God has been faithful and encouraged us to reach that potential. Just this week, Jesus encouraged me just this week. I got this, it was probably about 25 years ago, and I had this missionary sitting in my office wanting to quit ministry. Honest, I don't remember the event. Obviously I don't remember what I said, but I do know this. But because I was willing to live out God's plan for my life, God used me in this missionary's life. Here is part of an email I received from this missionary just this week. He said, "Brian, God bless you, man. And remember, you're one of those people that helped me to attain the 44 years with Word of Life. Greetings to Judy, and have a great day. I'm so glad to always have you in my life." Let me tell you, there is nothing. I don't care how bad your time is, your days are. When you know you've affected other people and they reach out to tell you that, that's an encouragement that very few things come close to. About the same time, we were youth leaders in our local church. And one of our kids, and we use that in quotes, one of our kids in the youth group, he was a terror. I mean, he was a terror. And I was also his high school basketball coach. And I don't need to tell you all the details other than to say that he really put us through the hoops. But Bumper, as we called him, has written a book. It's called The Un-American Dream. And it talks about how the American dream is destroying American families and how we need to set boundaries. But anyway, he just wrote this book. He just got it published. So I dropped him a note to congratulate him on it. And here is part of his reply that he sent me this week. He said, "Brian, you and Judy had a big part in my life, even if I did not realize it at the time. Could have written an entire book just in the acknowledgement section." Remember, Jesus knows you. He knows all there is about you. There's nothing you can tell him about yourself that he doesn't already know. Jesus knows your background. And because he knows your background, he knows your past. He knows better than anyone how to help you. Jesus knows your potential. And he is committed to change you, to encourage you to reach that potential. So my encouragement to you this morning is, don't fight him. Give in to him. And you too will be receiving notes from people when God used you to help them reach their potential. that God would take the time to work on us, to change us, so that we can fully reach our potential. To me, it's just amazing. As we close our message this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we sing together, Amazing Love.